Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together. Today we want to begin with you a discussion of Joshua chapter 13. And if you will call to mind the original analysis we gave you of the book of Joshua, you will recognize that with the 13th chapter of the book of Joshua, we are beginning the third and last division of the book, which we entitled Occupying the Land. As you glance at chapter 13, if you are able to look at your Bibles, you will notice in verse 1 these words, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." And then there is a long list of names, names of kings, and names of portions of the land of Palestine. Usually, when we come to a chapter like this, we are prone to pass over it because the names mean very little to us, and unless we have a map at which to look, we don't always know what we are talking about, and then we don't particularly profit from it unless we are particularly interested in geography. And two, the names are difficult to pronounce, and we find ourselves passing over them lightly. Now, I don't think there is any particular reason to examine each one of these names and look at each one of the verses, but I do believe that if you follow the practice of passing over what people sometimes refer to as the begat chapters, because they are full of nothing but names, you are apt to miss a very great spiritual blessing that the Lord could have for you. And I think this would be true if we were to skip over chapter 13, particularly, and the first part of chapter 14, which really all goes together. We would miss a very real blessing because I believe that in these chapters we can find illustrations of one of the most important spiritual truths that we can find in the Word of God. And I have given that spiritual truth a name. I refer to it as rules for possessing our possessions. Rules for possessing our possessions. And I believe in Joshua 13 and the first part of 14, we are going to have presented to us rules for possessing our possessions. God said to Joshua, "There is very much land to be possessed." Still, very much land to be possessed. What God said to Joshua, I believe that the Lord Jesus could say to nearly every believer today, "There remaineth very much land to be possessed." Now, you might wonder why I would say a thing like that, and I'm going to suggest that you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians for an illustration that in relation to this age of grace, indeed, there remaineth very much land to be possessed. In the book of Ephesians, you will notice in chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, put very simply, that verse says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing we need in the heavenlies. The word places, which we read a moment ago, is actually in italics in the King James text, which means that it's not in the original text. So you don't want to think about these blessings floating around somewhere in the sky like a cloud. Rather, it's the blessing that is ours in the heavenly relationship we have with Christ. Because we have this new relationship with Christ, there is presented to us all of the spiritual blessings we will ever need. I ask you now, are you enjoying all of them? Do you know what they are? Are you taking advantage of them? Well, perhaps you are. But the people to whom the Apostle Paul was writing these words evidently were not. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love to all the saints, ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." As soon as I heard that you Ephesian people became Christians, Paul said, I began to pray for you. And they might have replied, "Well, we appreciate that, but how did you pray for us?" And he said, "I began to pray that you might at least begin to possess your possessions." Now, that isn't exactly the way he expressed it. The way he expressed it is found in verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Notice carefully now. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." I am praying, Paul said, that your eyes will be opened, that you might be able to know, in the sense of realizing and enjoying, what your blessings are in Christ. Evidently, these Ephesian believers had not learned to appreciate all that they had in Christ. Now, another illustration of the fact that we do not always possess all of our possessions, and therefore ought to be interested in some rules to help us do it, is presented in Paul's Corinthian letter, his 1 Corinthian letter, the 2nd chapter. Recall the words, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 64, to which we will return in a moment, but you notice what Paul is saying, "Eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, what God has prepared for them that love him." Many folk read this verse of Scripture and think they are considering the preparation that God has made as being identical with the preparation that the Lord Jesus Christ said he would make when he left the earth and said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am ye may be also." Now, I would like to suggest to you that the preparation in 1 Corinthians 2 is not the preparations in John 14. The reason for it is found in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. These wonderful things which have been prepared for us are meant to be possessed now. They are meant to be enjoyed now. And the Holy Spirit is able to lead us into the occupation of those possessions, just as Joshua led the children of Israel into the occupation, or started at least, the occupation of the land of Canaan." Now, I said but a moment or two ago that the quotation in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, is from Isaiah chapter 64. And I would like for you to turn back there for a moment and notice it in its exact setting. Isaiah chapter 64 is somewhat of a prayer. Isaiah begins in verse 1, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Here is the heart cry of every sincere child of God. Isaiah felt that he had drifted away from God. He knew his people had. He felt separated somewhat from God. He longed for a renewal, or a revival, if you want to call it that. He wanted the fires to be fanned into a flame, and he said to God, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down." I dare say that all of us, at some time or other, have felt the need of a special touch from the Lord. We've grown cold. We've grown indifferent. We feel dead, spiritually speaking, and we long to be brought to life again. Well, this is exactly what Isaiah said, and this was the reason that he longed for this touch. He said, "We don't really understand what you will do for us, and what you can do for us if we give you a chance." And he said in verse 4, which is the original verse from which 1 Corinthians 2:2 is taken, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. This is the reason that I wanted you to turn to the original place from whence 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 came from. Now, keep a marker here in Isaiah 4, if you're able to use your Bibles in this discussion, and glance again at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and notice the difference in the two passages of Scripture. Of course, someone noticing the difference would say that there is a mistake of some kind here. There's no mistake. The Holy Spirit is emphasizing two sides of the truth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, remember, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And then, in Isaiah 64, 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, notice, what he hath prepared for them that wait for him. You see, there's no contradiction. There's not even a difference. There is an emphasis on two sides of the same truth. You know, to speak of love is a very easy thing to do. We can talk about love rather freely, and maybe we do not even know for sure what we're talking about. And in our relationship to God, it is quite easy for us to talk about how much we love him, just as long as it doesn't cost us anything in the way of sacrifice. So the Holy Spirit puts these two things together. He said, God has prepared wonderful things for those who love him. Possess your possessions. And then the Spirit of God said, but you're not going to be able to possess your possessions unless there is a willingness to wait upon the Lord. For waiting upon the Lord here does not mean that you sit down and twiddle your thumbs while God gets something done. Waiting upon the Lord means that you are in fellowship with him, that you are worshiping him, that you are in communion with him. This is the meaning of waiting upon the Lord. And this is the basic foundation for possessing your possessions in Christ, which is the very theme of Joshua 13. God said to Joshua, there is very much land to be possessed. God says the same thing to you and to me. On this side of the cross, in our heritage in Christ, there is much that we are not taking advantage of. Let us love him. Let us learn to wait upon him, that we might have these possessions in Christ. We will not be disappointed if we do.